Today is the 17th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you on the backside of another month. We've crossed through that center apex, and now we're kind of climbing back down so that we can find our way into a new month. But that's a bit from now, half a month from now, roughly. And it is great to be here now around the global campfire together as we take the next step forward on our adventure through the scriptures. And we've been working our way through the book of Nehemiah. We have one more step to take in the book of Nehemiah. We will conclude Nehemiah today and move into some new territory tomorrow before we take the next step forward in the letter to the Corinthians, known as 1 Corinthians. So let's dive in. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27 through 13, verse 31 today. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all the places they lived to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication joyfully with songs of thanksgiving and songs accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres. The singers were also assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the settlements of the Netophathites and from Beth Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had built settlements for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. I brought the leaders of Judah up on top of the wall, and I appointed two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on the top of the wall southward toward the Dung Gate. Going after them were Hoshea, half the leaders of Judah, Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, some of the priests with trumpets, Zechariah, son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his colleagues, Shemaiah, Azarel, Milalai, Gelalai, Maai, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, with musical instruments of David, the man of God. Ezra the scribe led them. They went over the fountain gate and continued directly up the steps of the city of David on the ascent to the wall. They passed the house of David and continued on the water gate toward the east. The second choir was proceeding in the opposite direction. I followed them, along with half the people on top of the wall, past the tower of the ovens to the broad wall, over the Ephraim gate, the Jeshana gate, the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, and the tower of the hundred to the sheep gate. They stopped at the gate of the guard. Then the two choirs that gave thanks took their stations in the temple of God. I did also, along with half the officials with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elioenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with their trumpets, and also Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Jehohanan, Melchijah, Elam, and Azer. The choirs sang loudly under the direction of Jezariah, and on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard from far away. On that day, men were appointed over the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits, and tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions prescribed by the law for the priests and the Levites. For the people of Judah took delight in the priests and Levites who were ministering. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification along with the singers and gatekeepers, according to the commandment of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the singers and for the songs of praise and thanks to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah, all Israel was contributing the portions for the singers and gatekeepers according to the daily need. They also set aside the portion for the Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people. They found written in it that no Ammonite or Moabite may ever enter the assembly of God, for they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but instead had hired Balaam to curse them. Our God, however, turned the curse into blessing. When they heard the law, they removed from Israel all who were of mixed ancestry. But before this time, Eliashib the priest, a relative of Tobiah, had been appointed over the storerooms of the temple of our God. He made for himself a large storeroom where previously they had been keeping the grain offering, the incense, and the vessels, along with the tithes of the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, as commanded for the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the offering for the priests. During all this time, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes of Babylon, I had gone back to the king. After some time, I had requested leave of the king, and I returned to Jerusalem. Then I discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah by supplying him with a storeroom in the courts of the temple of God. I was very upset, and I threw all of Tobiah's household possessions out of the storeroom. Then I gave instructions that the storeroom should be purified, and I brought back the equipment of the temple of God along with the grain offering and the incense. I also discovered that the portions for the Levites had not been provided, and that as a result the Levites and the singers who performed this work had all gone off to their fields. So I registered a complaint with the leaders asking, "Why is the temple of God neglected?" Then I gathered them and reassigned them to their positions. Then all of Judah brought the tithe of grain, the new wine, and the olive oil to the storerooms. I gave instructions that Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a certain Levite named Pedaiah be put in charge of the storerooms, and that Hanan son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, be their assistant, for they were regarded as trustworthy. It was then their responsibility to oversee the distribution to their colleagues. Please remember me for this, O my God, and do not wipe out the kindness that I have done for the temple of my God and for its services. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in heaps of grain and loading them onto donkeys, along with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, and bringing them to Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I warned them on the day that they sold these provisions. The people from Tyre who lived there were bringing fish and all kinds of merchandise and were selling it on the Sabbath to the people of Judah and in Jerusalem of all places. So I registered a complaint with the nobles of Judah, saying to them, "What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Isn't this the way your ancestors acted, causing our God to bring on them and on this city all this misfortune? And now you are causing even more wrath on Israel, profaning the Sabbath like this." When the evening shadows began to fall on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be closed. I further directed that they were not to be opened until after the Sabbath. I positioned some of my young men at the gates so that no load could enter on the Sabbath day. The traders and sellers of all kinds of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem once or twice. But I warned them and said, "Why do you spend the night by the wall? If you repeat this, I will forcibly remove you." From that time on, they did not show up on the Sabbath. Then I directed the Levites to purify themselves and come and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. For this, please remember me, O my God, and have pity on me in keeping with your great love. Also in those days I saw the men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples mentioned, and were unable to speak the language of Judah. So I entered a complaint with them. I called down a curse on them, and I struck some of the men and pulled out their hair. I had them swear by God, saying, "You will not marry off your daughters to their sons, and you will not take any of their daughters as wives for your sons or for yourselves." Was it not because of things like these that King Solomon of Israel sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But the foreign wives made even him sin. Should we then, in your case, hear that you do all this great evil, thereby being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign wives? Now one of the sons of Joiada, son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. So I banished him from my sight. Please remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood, the covenant of the priesthood, and the Levites. So I purified them of everything foreign, and I assigned specific duties to the priests and the Levites. I also provided for the wood offering at the appointed times and also for the first fruits. Please remember me for good, O my God. First Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. I praise you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions just as I pass them on to you. But I want you to know that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Any man who prays or prophesies with his head covered disgraces his head. But any woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered disgraces her head, for it is one and the same thing as having a shaved head. For if a woman will not cover her head, she should cut off her hair. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, she should cover her head. For a man should not have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for the sake of woman, but woman for man. For this reason, a woman should have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. In any case, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For just as woman came from man, so man comes through woman. But all things come from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone intends to quarrel about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. Psalm 35, 1 through 16. By David. O Lord, fight those who fight with me. Attack those who attack me. Grab your small shield and large shield and rise up to help me. Use your spear and lance against those who chase me. Assure me with these words, I am your deliverer. May those who seek my life be embarrassed and humiliated. May those who plan to harm me be turned back and ashamed. May they be like wind-driven chaff as the angel of the Lord attacks them. May their path be dark and slippery as the angel of the Lord chases them. I did not harm them, but they hid a net to catch me and dug a pit to trap me. Let destruction take them by surprise. Let the net they hid catch them. Let them fall into destruction. Then I will rejoice in the Lord and be happy because of his deliverance. With all my strength I will say, O Lord, who can compare to you? You rescue the oppressed from those who try to overpower them, the oppressed and needy from those who try to rob them. Violent men perjure themselves and falsely accuse me. They repay me evil for the good I have done. I am overwhelmed with sorrow. When they were sick, I wore sackcloth and refrained from eating food. If I am lying, may my prayers go unanswered. I mourned for them as I would for a friend or my brother. I bowed down in sorrow as if I were mourning for my mother. But when I stumbled, they rejoiced and gathered together. They gathered together to ambush me. They tore at me without stopping to rest. When I tripped, they taunted me relentlessly and tried to bite me. Proverbs 21, 17, and 18. The one who loves pleasure will be a poor person. Whoever loves wine and anointing oil will not be rich. The wicked become a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous are taken in the place of the upright. All right, so we concluded the book of Nehemiah today. And when we began it, I was just suggesting, let's watch Nehemiah. Watch how he conducts himself as a leader. Watch how he gets this vision, this dream, this thing that ignites in him and begins to burn inside him as he's the cupbearer for the king of Persia. Watch as he intercedes and carefully and methodically thinks this through and then risks by bringing it to the king. The whole thing could have got shut down right there. For that matter, Nehemiah could have been killed right there. Not sure why he would be killed for asking a favor, but the king had the power of life and death over everybody. So we watched Nehemiah prepare, after getting permission, get all of the things together that they will need to make the caravan and travel to Jerusalem. And we watched once they got there how he didn't announce what he had come to do. He didn't come in bearing a flag from Persia going like, I have arrived, here's what we're going to do. He didn't even let anybody know. He went out quietly. He looked the whole situation over. He got this situational awareness about what this job of rebuilding the wall would even look like. And then he cast the vision. And the people bought in. They understood. They saw. And they engaged. But then they faced all kinds of opposition. Whether that be intimidation by enemy voices or threat, political maneuvering, attempts to discredit and destroy reputations, you know, all the kind of stuff people used to do back in those days. And Nehemiah responded. Like, that slowed everything down. All of that opposition slowed everything down to the point where half the workforce had to be on guard and half the workforce had to be guarding. But even the workforce had weapons strapped to them and they were working mostly one-handed. Like, this really had a major effect. But they didn't stop. They just moved forward more slowly. But they accomplished the task. They completed the wall to protect the temple of God, which had been burning inside of Nehemiah. And so we conclude the book of Nehemiah today with the dedication of the wall around Jerusalem. Two large choirs, a lot of the priests and Levites and leaders up on the wall. And they go in opposite directions around the wall, worshiping and praising God. What a moment for Nehemiah. It was in his heart to honor God and do good for God's people. And he's marching around this thing that was a dream but now is a real thing in this world, and thinking back over all of the drama that it took to get there, but they had completed the mission. And so Nehemiah returns to serve the king of Persia. Mission accomplished. And then sometime later he was given permission to return to Jerusalem. And when he arrived at Jerusalem, he saw how quickly they were all falling back into their own ruts, their own patterns. Like Eliashib, who had been given the charge to take care of the storerooms in the temple of the Most High God, he had allowed Tobiah, and that name should be familiar to us because Tobiah was one of the ringleaders instigating the intimidation and trying to sabotage the dream. He was given his own private room in the temple of the Most High God. So we can maybe smile a little bit as we hear Nehemiah recount how furious he was now. He threw all of his stuff out. And the Levites and the singers who had a vocation to remind the people who God was and what their identity was and where they're going together, they weren't able to perform their duties. They weren't being resourced anymore, so they had to go find work to pay for their food and their families, which affected the work to be done at the temple, which invariably affected the people. And the Sabbath day was being profaned. All these merchants were coming to do all of their business on the Sabbath day. And the people had begun to do one of the things that undermined them all along, mixing with the surrounding peoples. And so we could look at this and go, all right, so if we're watching Nehemiah, we watched all of the things that he had to go through to fulfill this vision. But in the end, as we come to the end of the story, it's an awesome wall, and the people still seem totally willing to outright rebel against God. So does this story just end up being a dramatic story of the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, but nothing really changed? This is where we get the last look at Nehemiah, because he had poured his life out to accomplish something for God that he did accomplish, but the work wasn't exactly the revival he had anticipated. And that's the thing about dreams and visions that we endure to see come to fruition. In the end, we can't always influence people to do what they know to be right. But we can follow God's leadership by taking ownership of us, ourselves, doing what is right. The outcome is in God's hand. Obedience is success. And if we engage with what we believe the Lord is inviting us to do with open hands and open hearts, then regardless of outcomes, we land where Nehemiah lands. Please remember me for good, oh my God. And Father, that is our desire, that our lives would bring glory to you, and that we would not attach our identity to outcomes that are in your hand. To walk the correct path is to obey you. Holy Spirit, come, help us to remember this as we face all kinds of endurance challenges in our lives. But to win this game we call life, to win is to know you. Nothing more, nothing less. And in this light, we realize we have all that we need. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. And you can find out what's going on around here, there. You can also download the Daily Audio Bible app from the App Store that works with your device. It's a free app and it does everything in the palm of your hand, so check that out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop for resources that we have available. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that as well at the website or in the app. Or if you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Georgie Ann Lamberson, and I have a prayer request. I have not been feeling well. I'm 85 years old. I've really done very well for my age, but I just have had some problems with stomach, colon, and so forth. And I would really appreciate prayer for healing from the Lord. Thank you.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Robert Ford. This is my first time calling. I just like to call for prayer right now for my situation. I'm currently incarcerated in Sacramento County Jail, and I'm trying to see if I can get mental health diversion. And so I'm asking for the family, the community, to please pray for me for this situation. And I just thank you in advance, and I just thank God in advance, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of this community, and I thank God for the Daily Audio Bible. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, this is PK from Oahu, and I just want to lift up just our family here in the neighboring islands, there in Maui, specifically the area of Lahaina. We have been devastated, as most people have seen across the world, by the fires that raged and just destroyed the entire town. So many people displaced and lost, and lives gone. And we know that God is merciful and gracious. And I just pray for the people that remain, for the cleanup, for everything that needs to take place, and that the people would be restored. And so I just ask that you would just pray with me in lifting up the people and the support and everything that's necessary for those that remain to get back on their feet, and that the Lord would just surround them with so many people that love him and that can share the love of Christ, comfort, and restoration. So pray with me. Father, I do just ask in the mighty and holy name of Jesus that you would bless these people in the island of Maui, there in Lahaina. And we just link arms as the DAB family to just support them, come around, and just lift them before you in prayer. We ask that all of the support that would be necessary would meet them right in the need that they would have, and that the outpouring of love and care would be very evident, and that the people would receive that. And so, Father, we lift it in faith, knowing that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And Father, I just thank you also here for my DAB family and just those that come and link arms to pray together. Bless the islands of Hawaii, specifically there in Maui. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, DAB family. This is Dorothy out in California. Want to pray for Marsha in Minnesota on July 8th. You shared that you have pancreatic cancer and that you're scared about an upcoming surgery on August 29th where they'll be removing your pancreas, stomach, and spleen. I'm so sorry. You're going through this. Abba, please hold Marsha. Please hold her tight. Please help her through this. Please heal her. Please help her. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you, Marsha. And we're here with you. Let us know how you're doing. And DAB family, I love you all so very much. Thank you for being you.